Well, for many parents with children, these are worrying times. How do we explain to children what's going on around us? One person who would probably be able to throw some light on this is Teresa. Teresa works with SOS Children's Villages, and she works with children, vulnerable children in war zones and things like that across the world. She joins me on the line now from Northeast Italy. Teresa, hello.
Hello.
So, Northeast Italy, I'm guessing you're right in the middle of all this and have been for some time.
Absolutely, yeah. Italy has been hit hard in the recent past, and the whole world knows that, but we are taking it in stride.
Good. Okay, now you're a mental health and psychosocial support advisor in your sort of your day job for SOS Children's Villages. What does the charity do, and what do you do for the charity?
Okay, SOS is an international organization that is spread across 137 countries as of today, and we mainly concentrate on alternative care for children who have lost parental care or are in the process of losing parental care. And at the same time, we work with families in family strengthening programs and with the young people, of course. So we have alternative care as residential programs, and we have caregivers who are taking care of these children. And most of the children that we care for have experienced a lot of adversity in their past. And the main one is abandonment. So they are already vulnerable. And some of them, besides that, have experienced a lot of other challenges and traumas and many adversities. So SOS seeks to be able to provide a loving home for these children, not only taking care of their basic needs, but also their holistic development, their holistic well-being.
Okay. And I said in my intro piece, you know, war zones, things like that. I'm guessing Ebola was also one of the areas you've been working, is it?
Yes, we work actually in most of the, 137 countries. That means that we have countries where there is a lot of poverty, there are countries where there are no resources, there are countries where there is war, there are countries where there are natural disasters. So you name it, they are there.
Okay. Well, here in the UK, we're kind of very fortunate, by and large. We don't get too many problems on that scale. I mean, we obviously have local problems, and there's housing and social issues. But this is a national thing that's affecting us. And I'm guessing a lot of children in the UK are wondering, what's going on? Mum and dad are suddenly at home and things like that. What's going on? It must be worrying times for them. They must feel at risk.
Absolutely. And going back just a step backward, we also work in other countries where there is no war and there is no adversity. I mean, there is no poverty, for instance. We are in Europe, we are also in other countries in the rest of the world. So we also work with children. As long as, you know, the main thing is that these children have either lost parental care or in the process of losing parental care. So we have these vulnerable children. And in UK, I believe, and in the rest of Europe and Americas, many children right now are living in very uncertain times because, yes, as you said, they see mom and dad at home and they can't go to school, they can't go to kindergarten, and so their life has been changed. So they are bound to ask, what is happening? And so, yes, they are living in an anxious environment, and sometimes it is very difficult to explain to a small child what this issue of virus is all about, because they may not even have an idea of what a virus is. And so what we are doing especially is to help, to ask children what they know. Why do you think this is happening? What are you aware of? What is happening? And based on what they know, we are trying to provide age-appropriate information to the children, taking care not to threaten them with the information, not to scare them. And not only the caregivers, be they parents or other caregivers, have to be on top of things themselves to be able to communicate with these children. They need to be able to have the right information and know how now to give this information to the children in a digestible manner, where the information that can help these children understand and not panic. And the parents also need to really watch out against panic. We understand that there are certain times people are afraid, people don't know what to expect.
it's important not to just turn around as parents and just go, oh, don't worry about it, everything's going to be fine. There's got to be absolutely some level of explanation and some level of discussion. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, exactly. And with smart children, actually, we are encouraging caregivers to use games and activities. And some have really been very, very creative, because it's amazing the way children can get their creativity out when we involve them and we use we communicate the information in an age-appropriate way. We are amazed at the way children are able to express themselves in this pandemic period.
So you'll see them sort of perhaps doing by drawing and things like that. That will bring out their concerns, the subject matter they choose to draw, the colours they use, things like that.
Exactly. At the same time, the songs, you know, the rhymes, the games, the activities that even the parents are involved in, they have been priceless in helping the children to understand this without getting scared. And even like they have created rhymes on what to do, like washing their hands. They have specific songs about washing their hands, about the masks, about, you know, the 1 meter distance and all that stuff. It's amazing. Mm. It's amazing. Mm.
Mm-hmm. How, so we're saying, okay, you shouldn't ignore the subject, and it's important not to just turn around and say it's okay, everything's going to be fine. But there's also presumably a bit of a danger of an information overload, isn't there? We can't be talking about this all day, every day, surely.
Absolutely. That is a very important point. We are actually calling it infodemic.
Right. Yes.
Infodemic. Because it's, besides epidemic, it's actually infodemic, where people are having information overload, and too much information is creating a lot of stress in people, because sometimes some of this information is not even reliable, it's not even scientific. So when we get obsessed with all this information, we suffer from infodemic. And that means that when you concentrate too much on what is happening around the social media, the TV, the radio, the newspapers and everything, then you can get saturated. And then it leaves you really vulnerable, confused and very vulnerable. And then that increases the panic level. And then when you panic, of course, you make irrational decisions. And then sometimes you take some actions that are not good for you. Then eventually you start suffering from guilt, shame and blame and all that stuff. So it sets a spiral of emotions that sometimes leave you really, really feeling powerless.
So it's really important just to keep it all measured and under control and try and keep life going as much as you can whilst not ignoring what's going on.
Absolutely. And it's very important for children to have a structure, because children feel contained when they have a structure, when there is predictability. Of course, these are uncertain times. You can't predict what is going to happen tomorrow. But there are some things that we are in control over right now. I can have a structure so that the child knows, okay, after this is what we do. This is what we do. Life is unpredictable. I mean, life is predictable even if the whole situation right now is unpredictable for everybody.
Okay. We're in still what could be fairly early stages of this. We're sort of 3 weeks into a lockdown, and people are still talking about possibly June before some of the restrictions can be lifted. So it's early days. Are there trends or things we're going to need to watch out for in the coming weeks? Do we need to be monitoring our children, keeping an eye out for? Are there going to be behaviour changes that might cause us concern?
Absolutely, absolutely. As we said, the situation is bound to actually wake the tigers, as we say. You know, it gets the suffering out, because people feel like they are confined, and people feel that they cannot. Their life is sort of changed, and so it is very important for us as parents or caregivers and adults to really observe our children, not to be obsessed with what is happening, but to observe our children and be able to pick up in case a situation happens where there is change of behavior. Maybe the child has started regressing, maybe they are bedwetting, or maybe they're clinging so much onto the caregiver or the parent. We need to be able to watch out on that, because those are early warning signs that are those alarm bells that tells us, oh, we need to pay attention to this.
In terms of ongoing support, I noticed you got a wonderful article that's put up online. Is there a lot of support online that the parents can refer to, or is this a lot of us, are we just sort of learning it as we go along?
Yes, we do have a lot of material that is available. Like the World Health Organization is releasing material quite frequently. And if you go on the internet, you'll be able to find that reliable information by the World Health Organization and also by different other organizations that can be credible. We need to be careful about what we're reading. At the same time, I don't know what is happening in UK, but most countries have also developed like helplines and psychological support online. And those are also available. And every area has kind of developed a kind of support system for the people at this time.
Lovely. All right, Teresa. Well, it's been wonderful to speak to you, and some sound advice there for parents who are going through this for the first time, hopefully the only time in their lives. Stay safe out there in northeast Italy, and thank you for being on the line today.
Thank you very much, Neil. Thank you. I appreciate this.